definitely stress development with us, but also, you know, I think when there's that winning culture of games matter, you know, every weekend we need to win, you know, two out of three every week, then we'll be where we want, you know, kind of having that mindset of we're out there to win games and to put our best forward at all time. I think that carries through, especially when you go to the next level, because there is so much more pressure there, but you know, the pressure is winning. So you better already have kind of placed that pressure on yourself that, hey, I need to perform every night to give my team the best chance to win. And I definitely think that, you know, carried through when you look at Tampa Bay on how some of their young guys stepped up, you know, leading to their Stanley Cups, because they knew how to win. They knew, you know, the sacrifice it took, the blocking shots, the, you know, taking a hit to make a play, all those kind of things.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. I'm Lucas Favalli, and this is Crunch Chronicles, presented by Wendy's. On today's show, we chat with someone who spent two seasons behind the Crunch bench as an assistant coach. Ken Klee was hired as an assistant in July of 2017, and he would serve in that capacity in 2017-18 and 2018-19. Klee, who played in over 900 NHL games during his playing career, was responsible for the team's defenseman and penalty kill, and he helped the team to two of its best regular seasons ever. In 2017-18, the Crunch finished fourth overall in the AHL with 100 points, and then they topped that with 102 points the following season, setting a franchise record with a .671 points percentage, finishing second overall in the league and winning the North Division title. Under Klee, the Crunch finished top five in goals against per game and in penalty kill in both seasons. Under his tutelage, players like Eric Chernak graduated to the NHL for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Klee remains involved in the game, and he's now the head coach of PWHL Minnesota. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Wendy's new loaded nacho cheeseburger is seriously a game changer when it comes to burgers. It's got cheese, beef, queso, and even tortilla strips. It's so cheesy, it just works. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's loaded nacho cheeseburger. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Lee Baldwin & Company is a proud sponsor of the Syracuse Crunch. For all of your investment needs, check them out at investtoday.com. Lee Baldwin & Company. You do the dreaming, they'll do the math.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much, Lucas, for having me.
It's great to have you here. Busy time of the year for everyone involved, and you're still involved in the game, of course. Coaching now on the other side of things. Fill us in, I guess, on where you are and what's going on in your world.
Yeah, well, right now I'm coaching. I'm the head coach for PWHL Minnesota team, and it's going great. We just actually got back from a road trip going to play Ottawa and Montreal, and then got back late last night. So we're still grinding it out just like we were back with the Crunch.
Grinding it out for sure. Long trips. And you were in Place Bell, I saw there yesterday too, which is a place where, of course, the Crunch play. Minnesota's off to a good start, though, this year. You know, fill us in on what's going on with your group.
Yeah, no, we're off to a tremendous start. I mean, it's a brand new league, original six teams. So but it's a lot of fun. Every game is one goal games or overtime. And it just, it's really exciting for not only the women's game, but the entire game of hockey. So it's really fun. And we've had great crowds. Last night we had a sellout at the Place Bell, and, you know, it was really great atmosphere, you know, for the players, for the coaches, everyone involved in the game. So, you know, it's just really exciting time. I think, like I said, for hockey in general, and certainly you know, I feel honored to be a part of the original six.
Yeah, the PWHL has been off to a smashing start. You know, big crowd, sellout crowd in Toronto, Montreal versus Toronto last week as well. You know, the league is got tremendous support already. How exciting is it to be a part of this new startup league that is again, like you've said, and like we just said a moment ago, is off to a wonderful start?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I said from the get-go, like, you know, these players, I'm so happy for them to finally be getting the support and the recognition that they deserve. You know, for them to have their own league where they're getting paid as professionals is really a huge step. So, you know, I had the honor of coaching the national team for a couple of years, but, you know, that was more of just like a tournament team. But it's really exciting now for the ladies that they have their own league. They're getting great support. And like you said, it's off to a great start. I think they had 19,000 in at the Scotiabank Place the other day in Toronto. And then, you know, we play at the XL Center where the Wild play, and we had 14,000 on our opening night as well. So it's just been really a great thing to be a part of. It's got an unbelievable ownership group, unbelievable league dynamic with the league owning all six teams. So it's really and all the competitiveness too, like I said, has been great.
Yeah, and it's so good for the game, like you said, and it's been a long time coming for the women. They've been working hard at it for so many years, a couple of different leagues, trying to get everyone on the same page, and it finally has paid off this year. You said it's so good for just the game of hockey in general. How much have you seen that just over the last couple of months since the league got going, the support and how much it is growing the game, not only in Minnesota and the cities you've gone to, but with all the, the young girls who now have something to look forward to, potentially down the line?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tremendous. Before, I think it was, if you weren't going to make, Team Canada or Team USA coming out of college, your career was pretty much finished, so you had to be in the top, say 25 players in your country. But now, now with six teams, now we've got basically 150. So, that number has really gone up. It gives a lot more players opportunity. And I think it'll just continue to grow the game. I mean, when I look at our crowds, we've got obviously a ton of young ladies there watching, but also, it's an adult crowd and it's really fun. I think when you look across the board of how exciting the hockey is, how fun it is to watch, how skillful the players are, it's just been really a really feather in the cap for all the players who have been doing it for a while and not getting the recognition they deserve, but now they certainly are.
Ken Klee, our guest here, head coach of PWHL Minnesota. It kind of happened very quickly for you, Ken, kind of late put into that position. What was the process like right near the start of the year when you get named head coach?
Well, it was a bit of a whirlwind. I mean, I had interviewed for the GM and for the coach job in Minnesota, which I didn't get originally, but then things happen. Things happen quickly in the hockey world, as we all know. And, I ended up getting a phone call, right at Christmas, basically, and said, hey, would this be something I would consider? And, I talked with my wife, Robin, who obviously gives me tremendous support. And, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up, to be a part of an original six league and the great ownership, with the Mark Walters and Kimber Walters group. Billie Jean King is a part of it. They just said, hey, we're going to own, we own the whole league and we're going to make sure things are done right. If there's a problem, we're going to get it changed quickly. Also the experience that I had had in coaching the women before, the Kendall Coins and Lee Stecklides and Nicole Hensley's, they were just great to work with. They want to get better every day. They want to be, treated like pros. And for a coach, that's all you can ask is for the players to be all in and want to be coached and want to get better. As a coach, I know that's the main thing you're looking for. That's certainly why I enjoyed coaching, the Crunch where I did, because, the players were there, they knew they were one step from the NHL. So they really wanted to get better. So again, this is just a great group that, is awesome to be a part of.
What's it been like, what's the schedule? Like you just said, you were on the road there. There's the grind, getting back late, all that fun stuff. What is the schedule like and how does it kind of compare? I know it's year one, so things are only going to grow and grow for the league, but how does it compare to what you've seen, in your other previous stops?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a different dynamic, because we've had a few breaks. Like when starting in January, mm-hmm. I think we played, I want to say like 7-8 games kind of thing-ish in the first, 14 to 20 days. And so that was a super busy schedule, more than any of these players have ever played. They've never really played more than a tournament schedule. And then we had an all-star break. We come back, play one game. Then we have a 10-day international break, come back out of that. And basically had one practice and now we just played 3 games in 5 nights. So, it's busy. I mean, I'm hoping it's gonna, we actually made a trade and we had a new player and she's like, well, coach, I'm hoping to get a few practices in. And I said, I agree 100%. Me as a coach, I need more practice time. And that's, lately it's been tough to come by just because we have been playing so many games, but I think it's going to balance out where we will get more of a balanced schedule. But then again, we take a break for world championships for 3 weeks, which in the other pro leagues, that doesn't happen where you have multiple breaks in the same year. So that's definitely been a key difference. But again, for me, it's just about managing ice times, managing, the wear and tear on the players to make sure that we're, as healthy as we can be come game time.
Well, it's exciting to see that league continue to grow and looking forward to seeing where it goes, the rest of this year and into the future for sure. You mentioned your wife, Robin, of course. How's the family doing? Are your boys still playing? What's, give us an update on the rest of the folks who, spend some time here in Syracuse with you.
Yeah, I mean, no, Robin's doing great. She's, you know, our home is in Colorado, so she's commuting today to come see me. She hasn't been to see me yet in my apartment because, you know, we had some just family obligations and trips planned. She got to go to Costa Rica and I got to go to Minnesota. So it was, that was kind of a whirlwind where she went down there with some family friends for a few weeks and that obviously I was supposed to be there with,
yeah.
But you know, those things happen. And then, as far as the boys, yeah, they're all doing great. Garrett finished up his 4 years at Northern Michigan and then, played a little bit in the East Coast League. And then, now is working, he's adulting as he calls it and doing great. Mason did his 4 years at RPI. Now he's doing a grad transfer year at Ohio State. So he's really enjoying getting to play for a Big Ten school where they charter and all the amenities that come along with that. And then Bugsy is in Muskegon, looking forward to going to North Dakota next year. He got drafted by the Sharks this past summer. So, he's off and rolling in his career. He's 6'4" now, which I know you would find hard to believe, Lucas, seeing him around the rink all the time.
But
he's a big power forward center. And he's definitely an up and coming young hockey player that hopefully we'll get to see the American League and hopefully the NHL as well. So
yeah,
it's an exciting time for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to hear all that. And you're right. I cannot believe 6'4". I mean, it's not a surprise based on, you know, you and the rest of the kids, but
probably watching him eat. Probably told you that he's going to be a big kid. I think you remember him going down to eat when the boys were eating there, and he was always piling on as much as they were to try to eat and get big. So,
well, that's awesome. It's great to hear that, and we look forward to seeing him continue to develop as well. I guess that leads into, you know, as we shift our focus to, you know, your time in Syracuse, before we dive into some of the more nitty gritty, just your general thoughts from your 2 years spent with the Crunch.
Yeah, no, you know what? I really enjoyed it. You know, I really enjoyed the American League in general. You know, in Syracuse, obviously it's a great fan base. Travel is really good with all the teams close, with Utica, Rochester, Binghamton, you know, all those teams being so close. It was good that way. Like I said, the chance to help players like an Eric Chernak and an Anthony Cirelli, Matt Joseph, you know, Mitch Stevens, all those guys who, you know, got to make the jump to the NHL. That was really, for me, what it was all about, you know, just trying to help players. I obviously had coaches help me along the way to help me achieve my goal and my dream of making the NHL. And certainly for me to have a chance to get back was a huge thing. So I certainly enjoyed my time there.
Do you remember, you know, how it all came about, ending up with the Crunch? You get hired in the summer of 2017. It was your first taste of coaching in the American League. How did that all come about?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, again, just kind of things happen quickly in the hockey world. And I'm pretty sure Trent Cole got a different position where he moved up to be a head coach. And, you know, I got a call, I think it was the end of July, early August, saying, you know, would I be interested in working with the defenseman there? They had a young group with Eric Chernak, you know, Cal Foote, I think, was drafted by then. You know, they had a good group, Benny Thomas and Don Machine, all those guys. So, it was just a really, you know, a good opportunity for me to continue to coach and continue to, you know, get better at kind of my craft, but also try to help as many players as I could. So, you know, for me, that's what it's all about. You know, definitely at this stage of my life and career, you know, it's more about helping others than kind of me growing or doing more things. But again, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. What do you kind of like the most, I guess, about coaching both then and now? What you just kind of said it, you enjoy helping players and people as they develop, but what do you enjoy the most about that side of the game?
Yeah, I think it's just, like I said, just the working with players, working with, you know, good people who are from all different areas, you know, kids from, you know, I have a Czech girl on my team here. I had a Finnish girl. I have, you know, Americans, I have Canadians, I have, you know, a mix of players, just like in the American League. So, you know, for me, that's, you know, it's just a cool thing to connect with a young person and try to help them achieve their goals and dreams. And, you know, to me, that's the best coaches are doing it, to try to help their players become better, you know, better players and better people. And certainly that's, you know, why I do it.
From that first season with the Crunch, you know, what do you remember the most? You mentioned some of the names already, but it was a team that the previous year had come out of, had gone to the, you know, the Calder Cup finals. It was a really young team, right? That first year when you were here, I think at some point, 10, 11 rookies dressed in the lineup, and it was a slow start for the first month and you guys went on a tear the rest of the way. What do you remember from that first season?
Yeah, I like you said, I just remember that we had a tremendous amount of of young players. And I was really appreciative that, you know, Julian Brisbois, you know, told me from the outset, like, listen, your job here is not just to win. Your job is to develop players so that they're ready to go when, you know, when the Tampa Bay Lightning are ready to recall them or need to recall them, then they're ready to play. So, you know, it was great to have that kind of support from Julian, just, you know, say, hey, it's about every day teaching them how to be pros, teaching them how to go about their business. Obviously I got to play for 17 years, so I had quite a history with it. But, you know, again, if I can pass on any little bit of knowledge to those players, you know, that's kind of what most excited me about every day going to the rink, going to work and trying to help them as best I could.
Let's pause with Eric Chernak, who you mentioned already. You know, that was his rookie year. He came in, it was his first year in the organization, and well, he was a big kid, and you could tell he was so good for the team that year. He came back for a very brief span the second year, but he's been with Tampa Bay ever since. What did you see in him early? And I guess it's not really a surprise where he is at this point.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a surprise for me at all. I mean, he had a tremendous amount of tools. Like you said, he's a big, strong man. He skates well. He's got a good shot, sees the ice well. To me, it was just about teaching him little parts, you know, little details of the game. You know, every shift matters, kind of his stick positioning, his gap, you know, all those things that you need to be an everyday NHLer. You know, I kind of work with him every day and his attitude, to be honest with you. He had a tremendous attitude that he wanted to get better. He wanted to be coached. And, you know, when, like I said earlier, when you get a chance to work with athletes that have that mindset of, hey, I want to get better. I want to be coached hard. I want you to tell me when I mess up, you know, and let me know to try to help me to be better. So, you know, Cherny's just a great human being. He wanted to be coached. He loved the game. He still loves the game. You watch him play, how enthusiastic he is and how hard he plays. It's just really fun to see.
As a coach, is there a trait, not with him specifically, but just in general, that you notice in players who do make it, you know, to that next level? Is there something that kind of connects the dots with how someone becomes successful?
Well, I think it's just really about consistency. You know, finding your consistent game day in and day out. You know, it's a hard grind. You know, being a pro hockey player is a tough thing. 192-day season, basically. You know, and it's every day. There's no off days. There's no, you know, oh, I don't feel well this week. I'm not going to get it done this week. You have to figure out ways to get it done or else someone else is taking your job. So, you know, it's just about really that consistent effort, I think, day in and day out. You know, obviously Cherny, you know, he brought that every day for us and is continuing to do it for Tampa Bay, which is really great to see.
Yeah, the Crunch, we're fortunate to see him for a year and change before he got that permanent call up to Tampa Bay. He was a big part of that group, like you said, Matthew Joseph, Carter Verhaeghe was here in his first season with the organization. Yep. Matthew Pekka was in one of his last runs with the Crunch. You can go up and down the list. It was such a great group. There was winning streaks that year of 10 games, I think 9 games. There were some long runs that year, and you know, it was led by those guys. He had some good goaltending. Louis Domingue had come in here at one point. Eric Condra, the captain. It was such a fun group to be around, too. Right? With everyone involved and a really successful team on the ice.
Yeah, I just think it had a great balance. Like you said, it had some great leaders with, you know, Dumy and Condra. You know, I've seen Eric here since I've been in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Actually, he works for Chicago now. But, you know, it was a good balance of young guys who were youthful and excited to be there every day, as well as, you know, some veterans who still love the game, who wanted to continue to, you know, the Corey Conachers and Gabriel Dumont, all that, you know, all those kind of players. Obviously, you know, Carter Verhaeghe coming in out of nowhere, you know, he became a lights out player and now he's, you know, an incredible NHL player as well. I think just to see his growth from when he first came in, trying to figure out what kind of player he was going to be to, you know, the player he has become is just a real, you know, tribute to him, how hard he works and how much extra time he puts in to really work on his craft and his game.
Yeah, his game started to peak near the end of that year and then took off the following year, which we'll get to now. Your second year, 2018-19, Crunch's 25th season. We're up to year 30 now, so it's flown right by. But 25th year that year for the Crunch, end up winning a division title. Carter Verhaeghe leads the league in scoring. Alex Barry-Boulet comes in as a rookie. He ties with Carter for the team and the league-leading goals. I mean, that team had so much going on, and it was such a fun group again to be a part of. What do you remember from that your second year with the Crunch?
Yeah, again, it was just, you know, every year is a little bit different, but I think that year with Carter really stepping up, we added BB in the mix. You know, what an offensive weapon he was. You know, Eddie Pasquale, we added as a goaltender. Mm-hmm. know, we had, again, we just had a good group that, you know, found ways to win games and found ways to try to get better every day. So again, it was another, you know, it was a fun season, you know, going every day with those guys, figuring it out. And at the time, like you said, Cherney got called up. I think Anthony Cirelli got called up as well. You know, Matt Joseph, like you could see the transition of some of our younger guys making the quick jump to the NHL, which again was super exciting for me and super exciting for them as well as the other players, just to see, you know, hey, there is action happening. You know, sometimes I think players feel like they're stuck somewhere, but hey, you keep grinding every day and keep, you know, putting in the work, you know, good things can happen for you.
And such a big part of, you know, the development process in the AHL is having good veterans around. You mentioned, you know, the Condras and the Dumonts the first year. Dumont ends up as captain in 2018-19. But the organization brings in a guy like Cameron Gaunce as well. And from your perspective, coaching the defense, what an addition he was for his couple years with the Crunch. What did Cameron bring to the group, both on and off the ice, for that that first year he was here?
Yeah, I just really think he brought that poise and that confidence of every day we got to come to work. You know, he wasn't a big rah-rah guy, but he was certainly, you know, knew his job, knew his role, knew things that he could bring to the table for us. And you know, and he showed it every day. So, you know, Gonsolin was awesome, you know, to coach. He was great to work with. He obviously was very, like I said, he had been in the league a few years. He was very calm, very poised. Kind of when things got a little chaotic out on the ice, he was always one to, hey, settle down, we're okay, like, you know, take charge, which as a coach, again, you can appreciate anytime you have a player who can kind of calm things down for your, especially for your decor. As far as I was concerned, it was a great ad for us.
Yeah, and he's still going strong with the Toronto Marlies now. He's just played his 800th career AHL game recently too, so
it's holy cow,
that's, yeah, cool. 800 wow. Games is a heck of a lot.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, so the Crunch continue to see him, and we wish him the best as well. You know, that year, though, it's, like we said, a division title. It was a great race all year, mainly between the Crunch and Rochester. You know, from a development perspective, and again, as a coach, when you're seeing these guys develop, you see those important games down the stretch. I think the division title was clinched the last weekend of the year in a game against Rochester. How much can those games help players, you know, learn about themselves and grow and develop as they go?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's important. I mean, like I said, Julian definitely stressed development with us, but also, you know, I think when there's that winning culture of games matter, you know, every weekend, we need to win, you know, 2 out of 3 every week, then we'll be where we want. You know, kind of having that mindset of we're out there to win games and to put our best forward at all time. I think that carries through, especially when you go to the next level, because there is so much more pressure there, but you know, the pressure is winning. So you better already have kind of placed that pressure on yourself that, hey, I need to perform every night to give my team the best chance to win. And I definitely think that, you know, carried through when you look at Tampa Bay on how some of their young guys stepped up, you know, leading to their Stanley Cups, because they knew how to win. They knew, you know, the sacrifice it took, the blocking shots, the, you know, taking a hit to make a play, all those kind of things.
Yeah, it worked out, like you said, back-to-back cups for the Lightning a couple of years later. That year, though, for the Crunch, 47 wins, franchise records in a lot of places across the board that year for the Crunch. Ended up in a playoff loss against Cleveland, but all in all, a really good season for the Crunch that year. So those are your 2 years with the Crunch. You know, you talked about the fan base here. How enjoyable was it to coach in, you know, in this city? It's been a city that's been in the AHL for a long time. You know, getting a chance to live in this area and you know, see the passion of this fan base.
Yeah, no, I mean, Robin and I definitely enjoyed it, and Bugsy, you know, the three of us were there for the majority of the time, and it was great. You know, we lived in Jamesville, you know, great people there. We made a lot of really good friends, and like you said, really enjoyed the fan base. The fan base was there. I think I played in the minors the first year the Crunch were there because it was lockout. So I actually had played there my last year in the American League before I got to make the jump to the NHL. So I kind of saw that there was a passion for it, but then to be there every day, you know, and coach there, I really enjoyed my time.
You obviously played a long time in the NHL. How much were you able to pull on that experience, you know, as a coach here with the Crunch?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's, you know, being a professional athlete is a tough grind. It's a mental grind. It's hard on you. It's hard on you physically, you know, it's very much hard on you mentally. When you've got, you know, injuries and call-ups and send-downs and all those things that can happen to a player during their career, you know, they go on a goal-scoring streak and then they go on a goal-scoring slump. You know, all those things of trying to balance out your game, still make sure you're doing the little things well. night in and night out to give yourself and your team the best chance to win. You know, those are just huge things. I definitely, you know, learned a lot from, you know, Brian Curran was down with me in Portland, Maine when I was there, when we won the Calder Cup. You know, Todd Nelson was there. We had Kevin Kaminsky, Kerry Clark. We had some older guys that, you know, definitely, you know, taught us to be pros, taught us that it wasn't a part-time job. It's a full-time thing, and you have to be ready to go every day. And it definitely helped me so that when I did make the jump to the NHL, I knew that, you know, I better, you know, stay on my details every day and keep working on the little things at all times, because if you're not working on your game every day, you're not getting better. So it's definitely the mindset you need to have, and it'll at least give you a chance to have a good career.
And how important is that, you know, the communication between a coach and a player, coaching staff, players, et cetera, et cetera. How critical is that to have that open communication?
Well, I think it's paramount, especially now. I mean, kids today, they get instant feedback on everything, you know, from Instagram to Snapchat and all the other social media things, or even, you know, my own sons can watch their shifts, you know, 10 mm-hmm. minutes after it's over, they're watching their shifts. So I know that, you know, American League players and NHLers are doing the same thing, you know, when they're, you know, similar ages in their young 20s and they want instant feedback. So for me as a coach, it's paramount to have the open line of communication, to be able to tell a player, hey, this is good, this is bad, you need to get better at this, and know that you're not telling them just to criticize them, but you're telling them to try to help them to be better, and know that, you know, players, you know, they have to know that you care about them to really take your feedback. And I think that for me, that's just a big part of coaching young people today.
Yeah, for sure. And we see it really taking shape here with the Crunch this year in particular. Ken Klee, our guest here on Crunch Chronicles. Ken, before we let you run, any, you know, final thoughts on the time you spent here in Syracuse?
No, not really. I mean, I just really enjoyed my time there. And obviously, I still try to keep tabs on the Crunch and wish them nothing but the best. You know, between Vance and the leadership group and Jim and all you guys in the office, you know, it was just a great experience for not only me, but my whole family. So I really appreciate it.
Well, great to have you here for a couple of years. It was a pleasure having you here, and we wish you continued success in the PWHL with Minnesota, and good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
There he is, Ken Klee. We thank him for giving us the time, and we hope you enjoyed the conversation. For me personally, Ken was always wonderful to deal with during his two seasons with the Crunch, and it's great to see him doing so well right now with PWHL Minnesota. We wish him luck in that position moving forward, and we also look forward to following along with the rest of his family as they continue their careers as well. That'll do it for this week's episode of the show. Thanks again to Ken Klee for joining us. For all of us of the Syracuse Crunch, I'm Lucas Favalli saying so long for now. We'll chat again next time on another episode of Crunch Chronicles.